several weeks into the school year, brand new school year, mom said to her first grader, Jacob, what do you thought of school? Now that he'd been a pro, he's kind of a seasoned pro, had been a couple weeks in school. How's school? And he said, oh, school's great. I love school. Then he paused for a moment. He said, well, except for one thing, I really don't like it when Mrs. Decker tries to teach us stuff. You know, I think we're all a little bit like that little boy. We don't always want to hear what someone else has to say to us, right? What someone else wants us to learn, how we can do better. Yet the truth is, if you think about it this morning, as we go into this particular message, if we don't learn, if we don't grow, if we don't mature, what do? We just stay the same, don't we? If we're not willing to listen to others, especially those who've gained some wisdom and those that we know love us and have our best in mind, if we don't have that attitude, we're not going to mature. We're not going to grow. We're not going to become more the people who God wants us to be. You know, last week we talked about how we are to encourage one another, right? Some of you were here last week. We are to encourage one another as something that's important to do as part of God's church. And as we think about encouraging one another, usually we often, what we talked about last week, kind of the idea of affirming one another, sharing, you know what, you're doing a good job at this particular area. Really appreciate this about you. Keep, you know, continue doing that. But you know, there's kind of a second aspect to encouragement as well. And this encouragement is kind of the part that challenges us to grow, to mature, to get better in our faith, in our lives. And even though we're not using that word this morning, there's another word that the Bible talks about, I think is that other side of encouragement. And the one another we're looking at this morning, as you'll see there, is to teach and admonish one another, to admonish one another. We're going to look at what that means here in a few moments. But Paul uses these two words together. Interesting. Many times when he uses the word admonish, he uses teach and admonish. As a matter of fact, the word admonish at other times, I realized this week studying, that it can also be translated to instruct. It's interesting. So I want to look at three main passages. Two of them are in Colossians. The other one's in Romans, where Paul talks about this. And he talks about admonishing and teaching one another. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And then we're going to skip over to chapter 3, verse 16. But look in your Bible. You think you see it on the screen. Colossians 1, 28. He says this, we proclaim him. Who's him? Christ. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Turn the page, scroll over, look on the screen. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. It's in the same book there, the same letter. He says basically the same thing twice, right? I mean, they're pretty similar. A lot of similarities in there. Matter of fact, he says the same kind of thing to the Roman church in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. So, if you want to look at that with me, Paul says this to the church in Rome, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace that God has given to me. That word instruct there, you see it's underlined. It's the same Greek word as admonish that's used in Colossians and other places. And so Paul saw this connection, this importance of instruction and admonishment. And so Paul's teaching was done with the view of admonishing one another. And his admonishing was always rooted in his teaching. And we're going to see the importance there of God's word being a part of that. And so we see Paul, he basically says the same thing in Colossians 1 and in Colossians 3 and in Romans 15, that we are to teach and admonish one another. So as we look at this, in other words, we are as individuals to share the things that we learn with others. We are to teach our insights that we learn. And sometimes we think, well, that just means that's just for pastors and that's for teachers and elders, right? No. He says one another. It's for each of us. So what does it mean? Let's look at kind of the two things this morning of what it means to teach and admonish. The first part of it is to bring knowledge or truth. to bring some knowledge or truth. Again, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher. Colossians 1 says you just have to have the word of Christ dwelling in you. You have to be allowing the word of Christ to be a part of your life. You need to be willing to share what God has taught you with others, those in your life. You have to be willing to share about some knowledge or truth that God has convicted you with, and you're willing to share that with others. True story, there was an African woman, this is a few years ago, who became a Christian through a missionary at the age of 70. Not only that, but she was also blind. But after she received Christ, Christ had made such a difference in her life, she wanted to share it with others. And even though she was blind, she had a kind of conviction, you know what? I want to share it with the schoolboys in the neighborhood that go to the school right near where I am. And so what she did is she went to the missionary, she took her French Bible. She actually couldn't read, but she learned from the missionary, from the pastor that was there. And she asked him, would you underline in my Bible in red, or will you highlight in red, John 3:16? And so they did. And then she went and the woman took her Bible and sat in front of the school. And as the school let out every afternoon, she would be there with her Bible. And she would hear boys that were walking by her. And she would call to them, say, come here, I want to show you something. Would you come here? And they came. They, you know, usually one or two at a time would come over to her. And she'd say, do you know French? And of course, very proudly, they say, of course we know French. She said, would you read what's underlined in red in my Bible? And they would read, oftentimes, that one in John 3:16. And then she would ask them, do you know what this means? And almost every time they'd say, no, we don't know what this means. And she would go and share the story of Jesus. She would share what Jesus had done for them, what he had done for her. And it's amazing. As she did this for years. Do you know that over a number of years, I don't know how many, but over a number of years, 24 of those boys not only became Christians, but became pastors. Who knows how many she led the Lord simply by sharing what she knew with others. It's amazing. 24 of these young boys eventually became pastors there in Africa. It's pretty awesome. All because she wanted to bring the knowledge and the truth to those that she could. That's one aspect of teaching and admonishing. And it can be done, obviously, first and foremost, with those that are near us. As parents, right? Some of you are involved at the school. Some of you have neighbors and so on. We have the opportunity to teach and admonish, to bring instruction about what God is, about who God is in our lives. But really, as we look at this command, there's a second aspect, which is kind of the main aspect of it. And it kind of helps me remember it. I was reading this week, you know, of kind of three C's of admonishment, where we caution, we counsel, and at times we correct. In this biblical context of Colossians specifically, we see here that Paul is cautioning. He's encouraging people to counsel and even at times correct one another, those who are part of their lives, and show what it means to follow Christ. Now, as you look at this word admonish, and maybe you've never heard this word, or maybe you've heard it, but you know, you kind of see it as a negative word. It's like, maybe you think it's like, you know, you need to do this. Maybe your mom admonished you. You know, you need to do your chores or else you're going to get punished. And sometimes we view it that way. And sometimes we kind of have extreme mindsets of one or the other when we think of admonish. One is we think of it, you know what? You know, I've always been taught just to mind my own business. You know, don't interfere with people's lives. Just, you know, whatever they do, that's their problem. Mind my own business. Some of you may have that mindset when it comes to people. You know, I don't want to intrude. Whereas on the other side, some of us may have more of the kind of the, what we might call the busybody person, or the one who always has to butt in and give their opinion and share, this is what you need to do, right? So you kind of got both extremes. Neither of them are biblical. Neither of them are this idea of instructing and admonishing one another. But we will see that offering guidance, offering counsel, offering caution sometimes, and even offering correction is a part of being in relationship with one another as the body of Christ. Some of you naturally do it. Some of you are really good at doing it. Some of us, not so good, and we're going to look at some ways that we should do this in wisdom, as we're seeing. But the truth is, in my life, I'll just share about me, okay? Because I know none of you are like this, because you're all, you know, you're better. You're doing good. But you know, I know in my life, sometimes I can gain a critical attitude about something or someone. Sometimes I can become insensitive to certain people or certain situations. Sometimes, quite honestly, there's times where I don't listen very well. Now, I know none of you have those issues in your life, but as we think about it, sometimes we can become critical. And there's times in my life where, quite honestly, I need to hear a teaching, a voice in my life that says, you know what? That's not the right attitude to have. And we see that we need to have a time of correction. And sometimes that comes through someone that we hear, like maybe a pastor. Sometimes it comes through our spouse, right? Sometimes it comes through a loved one. Sometimes it can even come through your kids. But as we look at this, something that we need to know that admonishing is not, it is not criticism or gossip, okay? As we look at this idea of counsel and caution and correction, as we're going to see, we need to do it with wisdom, and we're going to look at that. But we need to balance all of this stuff to not have an attitude of criticism or of gossip, to always think that we know exactly what someone else should be doing, or the other way, we don't tell them, but we tell others, right? Oh, man, you know, Pastor Jim, he's got an attitude, you know, and like how he deals, you know, with his kids or whatever it is like that. And then we can simply gossip. That's exactly the opposite of what we're talking about. See, Paul understands the importance of teaching and admonishing one another. That's why it's interesting. He mentions it twice here in Colossians, twice. Colossians 3:16 and 1:28. But look what he says in chapter 3, verse 16 again. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. What is he saying? We need to base it on God's word, not on my opinion, not on what I think someone should be doing, right? As believers, we are to study the Bible. We are to know God's word more and more so that we can share with one another. As we have those relationships with one another, we can share the wisdom that God has given to us so we can help one another. Remember that, one another, become more mature in Christ. And again, I'll say it a couple times, this teaching is not just for pastors and elders, although actually that's one of the main callings of pastors and elders and teachers, is to teach and admonish. But it is for all of us. The word of Christ is to dwell in each of us, right? The calling is to instruct and admonish one another. If you are a parent, if you are a spouse, are you a husband or wife? If you are a friend, if you are a part of the church, we're called to do that for one another. But again, it says, as we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us deeply. In other words, not based on my own opinions. It's not based on what I think somebody should be doing. It's not an excuse to clobber your friend, your spouse, your kids over the head and say, you need to do this because God says so. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. And yet some of us, maybe quite honestly, were raised that way, or maybe we've had that kind of attitude. The other thing I was reading something is we don't challenge people, like idiosyncrasies that people have. You know, some of us all have kind of those idiosyncrasies, those personality things, that imperfections that we have, you know. And the Bible doesn't say go and change everybody to be just like you, right? Because the truth is we all have those issues in our own lives. It's talking about looking at God's word and growing in our faith. As you said earlier, it's not about criticism. But Paul says to the Colossians, the Romans, it comes from a knowledge and indwelling of God's word and wisdom. We don't correct people of how we want them to act like us or how we think they should act. But rather, what does Paul say? He's confident. Actually, with the Roman church, he says, you know what? I'm confident in your knowledge. You are complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. The Roman church didn't know everything. They were just an average church. Just like you and I. Matter of fact, they had some issues that Paul wrote to them about. But he says here, you know what? I have taught you. You know God's word. Most of you, you know the basics of the faith. You know how you're to act. And you take that knowledge that you have and share it with one another in the relationships that you have, right? You don't have to have a degree in the Bible. You don't have to go to Bible college or seminary to do this. This isn't rocket science in many ways, but it's rather taking the truths that you have and sharing it with one another to instruct, to counsel, even at times to challenge others in our faith. And many times that happens naturally. Again, we're going to see it. It's something that needs to be a part of a relationship. It's not something that you just see somebody doing and you just go and correct them, okay? The truth is, as we look at this command, many of us are intimidated. I was. When I looked at this passage or this idea and this one another, I was like, oh, man, I'm not sure I really want to preach on that one. My initial thought was, you know, that means you're just constantly telling other people what to do. But as I studied, I realized, no, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. And we can hesitate. We can feel like, first of all, that we're unqualified from God's word, right? Many of you feel like you're not qualified to do that. But you know what? Maybe you aren't. Maybe that's where God challenges you to get into God's word so you know his direction, you know his instruction. The other big one, quite honestly, is we don't want to be misunderstood. You guys ever went to somebody, maybe it's even your spouse, maybe it's a friend, somebody you know really well, and you're like, okay, I know that I need to kind of share with them something that they can grow in, but I'm afraid of how they're going to react. I'm afraid I'm going to be misunderstood or seen as judgmental. And so for many of us, sometimes we stop. We don't even give God a chance to speak through us because we don't want people to see us that way. Many times we're oversensitive to that, quite honestly. But the truth is we need to be sensitive, right, to how people respond. We need to be sensitive to help them to grow and mature, to help one another grow in their faith. And so we need to look at it and to do it with much wisdom, okay? With much wisdom. Because if we look at Colossians 1:28 and 3:16, something you probably notice at the end of both of those, what does he say? To do it with all wisdom. To do it with all wisdom. So what does that mean? What does this wisdom look like? Well, wisdom first and foremost comes when we're abiding in Christ. When you're abiding in Christ. And Scott, I know May and June, did a series on abiding in Christ. Maybe you remember some of that. About making sure you have a deep relationship with God. That God's word is indwelling your life. You're allowing God to rule your life. So let me share kind of five ways, real briefly, of how teaching and admonishing one another is to be done in wisdom. Not just in our own wisdom, but in God's wisdom. First and foremost, it must be done in relationship, right? It needs to be done in a relationship with love and concern. I don't know about you, but if someone comes to me who I don't really know and they give me a caution, they want to give me counsel or even correction, but I don't really know them, or maybe I kind of know them, but I don't really feel like they're for me, they're always criticizing, then I'm not going to be very open to that. Neither are you, right? So it needs to come from a relationship where you, throughout our relationship, show that love, show that concern, show that compassion. It's certainly something that should be a part of our families. I think one of the greatest areas of this whole area of instruction and admonishment comes in our families. And so we need to show our kids, we need to show our spouse, we need to show one another our love and concern. And with other people, we need to show and develop those friendships that come. And many of you around here, I look, have some deepening friendships. Why? Well, because you're involved in home groups with one another. Because you go and enjoy things together, you know, sporting events, playing softball, going to movies, enjoying games, whatever. You're just in relationship. You're taking care of each other's kids and all those things. You're in relationship. You're showing love. So when those times do come, that God calls you to encourage somebody or counsel them, they're open to that. Because Paul says this in Ephesians 4:15. We've all heard that phrase, speaking the truth in love. You probably maybe all heard that from Ephesians 4:15. But he says that as we are speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. How do we mature? How can we mature? Well, by hearing and speaking the truth in love. Because the reality is, you know, you're not going to listen to what someone has to say if you don't really believe that they love you and have your concern in their lives. Doug, true story, Doug, an academic dean at a Christian university, shared about how a fellow staff member and a close friend of his had, a number of times throughout their time together, instructed and admonished him. And Doug shares this. He says this, quote, "I never saw him as a critic. I perceived him as a caring friend. His was a spirit of helpfulness and kindness. I knew that he cared enough about me to want me to grow. And so I didn't bristle at his suggestion for growth, his criticisms. I even sought them out," he said. "He helped me immensely, not with a spirit of superiority, but rather in humility as a fellow Christian pilgrim who acknowledged his own need to grow. He had earned the privilege of being my critic because he was first and foremost my friend." I hope you have someone like that in your life. Someone's. We're to teach and admonish one another with others' best in mind, and because we love them and because we want them to mature in Christ. Because we want them to mature in Christ. You know, as one who's on the receiving end, here's the other part, is we need to be open. I need to be open. You need to be open to learning, to listening, to growing in your faith in Christ, to those who can bring input into your life. Because even though hearing input on things that we can grow in is tough, right? Is it tough? Would you agree if somebody comes and says, you know, here's an area you can kind of grow in? If your first thought, my first, is defensiveness. But ultimately, if it is given well and received well, it can help us grow. And we need one another. We need relationships in which we can speak the truth in love to one another. So that's first one. You got to be in that relationship, okay? You can maybe see somebody from far that's having a tough time and say, oh, I need to, you know, they need to change that. And you can go to them and they're like, you don't know me. So make sure you're in relationship and make sure you go with love and concern. Secondly is to go with pure motives, with goodness. As Romans 15, 14 says, Paul said, "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness." In other words, you need to have the person's best in mind. You need to go with them with good intentions. It's not about getting them to do something that you want them to do, especially when it comes, you know, with our spouse. You know, all of us have things that we want to correct in our spouse or our kids or our parents, right? But we need to go with goodness, no ulterior motives. The Apostle Paul, he understood about this, especially when he wrote to the Corinthian church. If you've been reading, any of you read 1 Corinthians, you know that's one of the kind of tougher letters that Paul wrote. A lot of tough things. And yet he wanted them to know it. He's writing these things that they need to change, these sinful habits that they have, they need to change. But he says, I want you to know I'm not doing it to shame you, to embarrass you. What does he say? He says in 1 Corinthians 4, 14, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. He saw these as his children. You know? And so we need to make sure that we do it from the goodness, in a sense, the good-heartedness of our lives. So we need to check ourselves. Check your motives before you go. And as Jesus said, you know, before you point out the speck in their lives, you know, make sure you take the log out of your own. But thirdly, it needs to be done positively and humbly. Admonition is to build up, not to tear down. And many times, quite honestly, sometimes we think it's the opposite. Maybe we wouldn't say that, but we kind of, you know, we need to tear them down. We need to realize how bad they are, the things they shouldn't be doing. So then we can build them up. No, admonishing is ultimately about building them up. It's easy to tear down, to complain, to be critical of others. It's kind of like the family that was coming home from church one Sunday. I hope this wasn't a family in our church. But anyway, they were coming home from church, and the dad was complaining about, you know, the sermon. Man, that sermon sure was long. It was kind of boring. And the mom said, yeah, and those guitars, man, those guitars were too loud. Can you believe it? Especially that second song, how loud they were. And the sister, she was in college. She was a music major, said, you know, that solo, that solo, they were, half the notes were off key. Can you believe it? And then grandma was there, and grandma's like, you know, I couldn't hear a thing they were saying. We were just sitting in the wrong spot. They had to turn up those speakers. The little boy that was there, little Willie was listening, kind of about 10-year-old boy, and he started to kind of fuss. And he's getting in. Everybody else complained. Might as well start. So he began fussing about the woman who had the big hat in front of him. He said, yeah, that woman had the big hat. I couldn't even see around her. But then he kind of nudged his dad, and he said, well, Dad, you know, it really wasn't that bad, I guess, you know. It wasn't so bad. I guess pretty good show considering the dollar you paid for it. Little boy was watching them as well. You know, it's easy to be critical about a lot of things, to talk about things and yet never really want to improve them. That's not the way instructing and admonishing is to be shared. It's to be done in humility and as positively as possible. One author, I think, wisely stated, the purpose of this admonishing instructing, as Jesus taught, it aims at restoring, making right, solving a problem. And so we need to do it positively and humbly. And another aspect of doing it wisely is prayerfully. I mean, this should be an obvious one, right? And any time that you go to somebody with, you know, something you want to share, especially an encouragement or a caution or even a correction, is to do it prayerfully, to seek the Lord. Because God prepares our heart, first and foremost, when we pray. He prepares our heart. And we need to listen and ask the question, okay, am I doing it out of love? Am I doing it with pure motives? Am I doing it positively? Am I coming with a humble heart? All those things should be part of our prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So first of all, it prepares our hearts. But as you pray, you want to pray for the other person. It prepares their heart as well. Because there's no guarantee when you go to your friend, to your relative, to your spouse, that they're going to receive what you have to say positively, right? We don't always like admonition. We don't like counsel or correction. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit to go before us and pray, Spirit, would you go and soften their heart and open their heart to this? So that's an important thing. Always do it prayerfully. The last part of teaching and admonishing with wisdom is to understand why. To understand why God calls us to do this. And that is so that we can mature in Christ. Colossians 1:28. We read it earlier. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that, okay, there's the reason. Why? So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That word perfect is also translated in other translations as mature. Because we all know none of us is going to be perfect, right? And yet it's interesting. God's word says, be perfect as I am perfect. Okay, be perfect as God is perfect. Yeah, well, that, I'm not even going to try that one, right? But this idea of perfection is God says, mature, grow, become more and more toward perfection. The goal is to help one another grow in our relationship to be more and more like Jesus. That we can be mature in Christ. And that's, we read early in Ephesians 4:15, it says the same kind of thing. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. I mean, think about it. None of us likes to be around immature people, do we? I mean, it kind of gets old being around someone who never wants to grow, who never wants to mature, who never wants to see their character become more and more like Christ. And so that's a challenge for each one of us. Is that my attitude, right? Am I willing to grow? We should desire for our character maturing to grow as followers of Jesus. And sometimes the reality is that requires someone else pointing some aspects in our lives that we need to grow at. But as we said, it needs to be always done in wisdom, just like we talked about. Now, here's something. As we look at this idea, this command to admonish and instruct one another, we need to realize that it is in balance with all the other ones we've been talking about, okay? It needs to be in balance with encourage one another. It needs to be in balance with forgive one another, with forbear one another. And all those others, we need to make sure that it's in balance because we can get on one side or the other. Some of us can be quite critical. I think it's my job to admonish and instruct everybody. No. We need to make sure we have that balance. Matter of fact, one author said this, you know, people need room to grow, and admonition is reserved individually for those obvious attitudes and behaviors that are impeding spiritual growth. So it's not nitpicking, but if we see something in someone, especially someone that we're close to, that we see is keeping them from really growing, then that's where we do these things. That's where we pray and seek wisdom. You know, I hope each one of us here is willing and wanting to grow and mature in our faith and in Christ. So here's the question. We've got a lot, two questions here as we end. First one is, how teachable are you? How teachable am I? That's an individual question for each one of you. Am I open to growing? See, teaching and admonishing only works if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to learn, if we're willing to grow and change. Because hearing input from others, even those who love us the most, is hard, right? I know in my life, there have been times throughout my life where I have needed and received some instruction and some admonishment. And the person that's probably been the greatest at that is the person I hang around the most, which is my wife, you know? And there's been times where she'd say, you know, here's an area that you can probably do better in. Sometimes she did a great job. She did it with much wisdom. Other times, yeah, not so much. But anyway, I got the message both times. You probably had that as well. And I've had friends. I've had other pastors and friends who have said, you know what? Here's an area that you can grow in. And it's really helped me. It's not easy to hear. But each one of us needs to be willing to receive some of those things, especially from those that do it for our best and who have a great love for us. We need one another. I love these one another's. We need to be in relationship with one another so that we can mature and grow. Because if we are, you know, it's the opposite of humility, right? Is pride, where we think, well, you know what? You have no right to tell me what to do. You know what? How dare you? You're no better than I am. They already know that. But if they're coming there with wisdom and those things, we should be open. If we have those kind of relationships, we need to be open to that caution. Sometimes it's just a caution. Just be careful in this area. Sometimes it's some counsel. Hey, can I give you some wisdom? Here's some things I've learned in this area of my life. And sometimes it's a little, you know, it's correction. It's like, no, you're going down the wrong path. Are we open? But here's the other piece. Here's the other question is, each one of us must answer the question, am I willing to teach and admonish myself? In other words, am I willing to share with others in wisdom? In all this, may it be done with much wisdom and not with brutal truth. Okay, I'm going to tell you the brutal truth about yourself, you know, and not the other extreme of extreme flattery where you never, you know, you just never bring up anything that we can change. Neither of those extremes, but rather to speak the truth in love, so that we all may grow and change to become more mature in Christ. That was Paul's prayer. That was his admonition for the church in Colossians. This too is part of what it means to be living for one another. It's one of the tougher one another's, but it's also one of the more important one another's, to instruct and admonish one another in love. Let's pray.